Now, I think that these 12 apostles and the 12 stars represent them as the first officers of the church and crowned as such. Well, the 12 stars, actually, if we are consistent with other interpretations that we have made, would have to say that they were preachers, servants of God. So this crown of 12 stars is the 12 apostles, but as officers or preachers, selected of the Lord as the leaders, really, after his going away to set things in order. Now notice this woman, and she being with child, cried, travailing in pain, or in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Let's go back now to the second verse. It has often been said and often been referred to in a revival meeting that when a church was under the burden of the meeting and for lost souls, that it was referred to symbolically, and I would say the same thing, that Zion was in travail. And the Bible said as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Now, in one sense, and in one sense only, do I take the position that this is an effect of the church's responsibility and the burden that rests upon them in regard to the salvation of souls. And I in no sense take the position that the church is the mother of any child of God. Now that would suit the Romanists. In fact, that's the position that they take, that the Virgin Mary is the mother here, and that it is the Blessed Virgin, and they worship Mary more than they do Christ. And that's what the wrong interpretation leads you into, error. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. Now this red dragon is a picture of the devil. And his power and his authority is represented by the heads and the horns. And the 7 crowns upon his heads simply refer to the number or a complete number of crowns. And I'd like to call your attention right here again to the contrast between these crowns. When the woman appeared with a crown of 12 stars, that crown was a crown of victory. The Greek word is stephanos. Now, if it would had been a crown of sovereignty or royalty, it would have been diadema in the Greek language. But it is stephanos, which is a wreath that denotes victory. So when this woman appears with the crown, stephanos, it is a symbol that she's won a victory. Now, the great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head, now those crowns are diadema, and they represent authority. That's the difference now between the two in the very beginning of our lesson. And we'll get back to that, I hope, before we get through this chapter. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. Now get a picture of the devil portrayed as a dragon. None of us have ever seen a dragon, but we've seen crocodiles, some of us, maybe. And, of course, the tail is their prime weapon. You might be walking along a water course where crocodiles are inhabited, and you might take one to be a rotten log laying on the bank of the water course, and before you knew it, by the strength of his tail, he'd knock you into the water and come right in after you. Now, the tail of this dragon drew or pulled, cast down a third part of the stars of heaven. Now, I'm going to still be consistent in my teaching and say that these stars were preachers. Amen. That they were deluded, that they were deceived, and that they were brought into the fold of the pagan, I started to say religion, but the pagans were a godless people from every standpoint. But anyway, the dragon succeeded in getting a third. I'm glad that's all he got, because that leaves the majority on the Lord's side. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, and they should feed her there 1,260 days. And they are year days. Prophetically interpreted, a day stands for a year in this book. And 1,260 days would be 1,260 years. which was the time that the church was in the wilderness. 1260 years. Now, here's something I want you to notice. From the 7th verse down to the 14th verse, from the 7th verse down to the 14th verse is parenthetical. The reason why I say it's parenthetical, or in parentheses, is because the context of this chapter ends with chapter 5, or rather with verse 5, or verse 6, rather. And you come to the 14th verse before you read anything else about the woman, except in the 13th verse that the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth and persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child. So, in the 6th verse, it stops off with the context and is taken up again in the 14th verse. So from the 7th through the 13th verse is parenthetical. And if we'd left that part of it out and go right on with the 14th verse, it would tell us how the woman got into the wilderness. The 5th verse said, or rather the 6th verse said, she fled into the wilderness, where she had the place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And the 14th verse said, unto the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times and a half a time, from the face of the serpent. There you have your 1,260 years again, the very same length of time. Now between this 6th verse and the 14th verse is a parenthetical expression and tells what went on, what happened as a result of this dragon and his standing before the woman. And it tells us that the child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Now in this parenthetical expression, we're going to find out who that child is. And I want to say right here, the child cannot be Jesus Christ. If it is, then the church is the mother of its founder, which is an utter impossibility. And I want to get that off of our minds right now to begin with. The child could not have possibly been Jesus Christ if the first verse as reference and alludes to the church, and without any question by any expositor I ever read after, they all take that position. But others take the position, or rather, some take the other position, that this man-child is Jesus Christ, and that he's talking about the Old Testament church. Well, I never read about that. That's just an imaginary thing that people have hatched up. There was no church as an institution in the Old Testament. And therefore, this son could not have been born of an Old Testament woman or an Old Testament church. Let's look now at what happened as a result of this curse. The child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, I want you to keep in mind that we said and have said a number of times that what we're studying now is things that was to come to pass after the year 96. So you can't go back to the time when before God created man, and he created angels, and the angels, Jude says, left their first estate. They left their first estate. I'm sure there was a war then. I'm sure there was an uprising then. And how it was conducted, I don't know. How this war was conducted, I don't know. But you may be sure that Christianity in the world, when it's true Christianity, has always had a warfare with the devil in the promotion of the gospel and the truth, and it's been offset by counterfeit words are teachings, are theories, and in that sense, I would say tonight that that's the war that took place between Michael and his angels, and the dragon and his angels, Michael being Jesus Christ himself. Now, and he said he prevailed not, neither was that place found any more in heaven. Now the time was when the devil had access to heaven. And we read about that in Job's writing, where he said the sons of God presented themselves before the Lord, and that is angels. And the devil came along in their midst. And it was at that time that Job was accused of the devil. For God said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? Is none like him in all the earth. Man that feareth God and escheweth evil." And the devil began to tell God, "What do you do under certain circumstances?" Accusing him. Well, that door was left open until the plan of salvation was completed. Christ had gone back to the right hand of God and was there as a mediator between God and man, and that door was closed, that the devil had no right to enter or re-enter heaven anymore, and this furnished an analog for this vision that John saw when he was on the Isle of Patmos. And this is just a picture of that that it has happened. All right? The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Now, I might bring in the accusations that the devil had to offer in his approach to God, which furnishes, as I said, an analog for this that we're studying tonight. The plan of redemption was wrought out in eternity and was just as efficacious before Jesus came into the world and paid the price on the cross as it was after he paid the price in his death. But the devil was all the time accusing and charging God with not carrying out his promise, and that the plan of redemption had not been made, the sacrifice had not been offered, and therefore there was no way. And after that God fulfilled his promise, the devil was shut out of heaven from that day and could re-enter no more. And that was an analog of this that we're reading about now. Now I want to call your attention to this man-child. I know it's a little difficult, but I think if we'll compare Scripture with Scripture, that we'll be able to understand exactly what it meant. Now, God made a promise to Abraham, and that promise was, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Then he said, Paul, in speaking about that, he said not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and of thy seed, which is Christ. Now Christ, Jesus, is the seed of the kingdom. But then we read on, and we find they that are the children of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. All right? We have the seed, which is Christ, singular, and the children of faith, plural, being the children of the seed and the children of Abraham. So, this changes from singular to plural. And I want to show you just how that works. He said here, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Now then, in the 10th verse, notice how the singular is changed to the plural. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night, and they, plural, overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Now, the man-child that is born here, produced, is actually the rendering of the Greek word. This man-child that was produced was a type of the martyrs that lost their natural lives down here, but The devil couldn't get their bodies. Their souls was caught up under God. So this man child represents the martyrs under the pagan persecution. And we're still studying the pagan persecution. Now you can't find another noun in this except that that's an antecedent, that the pronoun they is an antecedent to. Now, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death, showing they were caught up to God in spirit. The devil couldn't get that, but he did get their bodies. Therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down to you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And the devil is still down here. He's been here all the time, ever since. And he'll stay down here until his work is finished. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle. And I want you to go back on our study of a few nights ago when we brought up the cherubim. You remember the cherubim consisting of four angels. One of them had the face of a lion. Another had the face of a calf. Another had the face of an eagle. Another had the face of a man. So in this case, the cherubim was the means of transportation, so to speak, or moving into the wilderness, which has reference to desolation. She was driven out away from the public, but the cherubim was the instrument used of God to carry her into that place prepared for her, where she was nourished for 1,260 years. We're going to get to that a little bit later on. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. Now notice the devil in his failure that he had failed the first time with the woman. He got the bodies of the apostles and others, but he didn't get their souls. And the saying is true, the blood of the martyrs became the seed of the church. So the church still traveled on, but it was driven into the wilderness or into a place of isolation away from the public. Now then, notice this. The devil, being wroth with the woman, cast out a flood of waters. In other words, he used wicked agencies to persecute the woman. But this said, the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Now, the meaning of that is simply this, that in certain nations where the devil tried to use the agency of civil government, civil powers, laws were passed that didn't allow him to use civil powers to carry out his persecution against the church. And that's what is meant by the earth helping the woman and swallowing up the waters that were cast out against her to persecute her. And let me simplify that right here. This country of ours, in a measure, was founded upon religious liberty. People came to this country from the old country in order to have freedom to worship God according to the dictates of their heart. And it was for a long time that they didn't find that freedom. But I have at home in a history book that I have, a little church in Rhode Island while President Washington was president of the 13 colonies. And the Presbyterian Church was the state church and supported by the government and by the taxes of Baptists and others, that little church in conference wrote a letter to the president, and he said, "You may tax the water that we drink. We'll pay taxes on the water that we drink. We'll pay taxes on the food that we eat, even upon the air that we breathe. But give us liberty to worship God according to the dictates of our heart." And that president, that man, took the time to sit down with a goose quill and write a letter back to that church and tell that church that he had received their letter and their request would receive his utmost consideration. Now, Baptists were the ones that were the originators and the appliers for religious liberty in the United States of America, and if we didn't have it tonight, we'd be persecuted just like they were back yonder. And in that case, this country, the earth, this part of the earth, has helped the church, my brother, by offsetting the agencies of the devil that were devised through civil governments to persecute the church. And I thank God tonight that we have that liberty. But did you know we're taking it too much for granted? Too much for granted. So the earth helped the woman by passing laws, and we have that in our Constitution tonight, that there will be no laws passed affecting the rights of people to have religious liberty. All right? Baptists were behind that, and they want to give everybody else the same right that they claim and want for themselves. But other people wouldn't be that generous if it was in their hands. All right? And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which proves what I said a while ago, that this man-child is the seed that he's talking about, and it's changed from singular to plural to show the fact that it is the church, my friend, and the remnant of her seed was in the plural, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So the devil is trying another way to get to the church. I don't know how long we've been talking. We've got a little more time, though, and I think we need to use it. Now then, in the 13th chapter, I want to show you another effort based upon the 17th verse of the 12th chapter. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, what method is the devil going to use next? He has failed with pagan Rome and the agencies used in pagan Rome to destroy the Lord's church, but he doesn't quit there. And I'd like to call your attention to this fact. When Jesus was led of the Spirit up to the mountain and was tempted of the devil, after 40 days and nights there without food or drink, and the devil approached him in three different ways to tempt him. And let me say tonight that he was subject to being tempted because he was a man. Not only was he man, but he is also God. And he is the only one that has ever lived or ever will live that was both God and man. And he was subject to being tempted. Now, I think we can prove that very easily, that Jesus Christ was subject to temptation. What is temptation anyhow? James said, let no man say when he's tempted that I'm tempted of God, for he said God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But he said we are tempted when we're drawn away of our own lust and entice. Now there would have been no reason whatsoever for the devil to have attempted to tempt Christ if he hadn't been subject to temptation. But he did tempt him three times, and the Bible said he left him for a little season. He came back again. But the thing that is glorious to me tonight, my Savior, who was made after the order of man and was the second Adam and was subject to temptation like you and I, was able to resist it and prove himself to be a sufficient Savior for the entire world, and is such a man on the cross of Calvary, he satisfied the broken law of God and made a plan whereby you and I might be saved through his merits, not ours, but his. That's what made him meritorious, is because he was able to resist the temptation and ride over the temptation and prove to God the Father that he was a sufficient and suitable sacrifice for the sins of the entire world. So, that being the case, the devil doesn't stop. If he fails one way, he'll try another. And this is what we're studying now. He's failed under pagan Rome, under paganism, a godless nation. He's used everything at his disposal, and he still failed to destroy the church. And that is exactly what he set out to do, and he'd like to do it tonight. But he can't do it. He has failed this far, and he'll fail from now on, because the Bible plainly teaches that there'll be faith on the earth when Jesus comes back on the cloud of his glory. Now, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. All right, what do we have? Notice that word I, pronoun I, personal pronoun I, is a mistranslation. It should have been he, second person, instead of first. And you'll find that in the original. So that's the way we're going to read it, like it is in the original. And he stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon those horns 10 crowns. Upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Now, the word see here alludes to people. People. And the sand of the sea represents many people, multitudes of people. And a beast rise up out of the sea, out from among that multitude of people. And beast in Revelation has reference to a king or a government. And upon his horns, he had 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, upon his heads the name of blasphemy, or names of blasphemy. All right, this is a government. This is another order of government. And he had his power and his seat, or rather the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. This government, this new government that's coming into being, is out of hell. It is a hell government. The power that is given to this is of the devil. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. All right. Here we see pagan Rome die. Pagan Rome is dead, never to rise again. But it is that deadly wound that brought death to pagan Rome was healed by another head. What was that head? That was the Roman head. The Roman Empire taking the place of the pagan empire. All right. And all of the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, as saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Now this is Rome that had the whole world under its dominion at that time. Now I want to go back right here. We'll have to combine Daniel with Revelation to get a better understanding of this. We're going to come to that a little bit later on anyway. In Daniel's time, he saw 4 kingdoms, and 3 of them had fallen, and only 1 remained. And he saw a stone cut out of the mountain without hands, and that stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands crushed this last kingdom that was set up, and it became as the chaff of the summer thrashing floor. So the 3 kingdoms that Daniel saw in his time was the Babylonian kingdom, which was the head of gold. He saw the Greeks, which was of silver, and he saw also the Macedonians, and he saw the Roman kingdom, all set up in one image. And then he saw that image completely destroyed in his dream, and Daniel told him what it represented. Now that was a type and a shadow, and that's exactly what we're studying in the book of Revelation. So we notice this. The whole world wanted after the beast, and they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? That is the government, who is able to stand up in battle against Rome, which had the whole world under her sway at that time. And I was given to him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemous, and power was given to him to continue. How long? 40 and 2 months are 1,260 years when you reduce it to days. The very same length of time that we studied heretofore. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindred and tongue and nation, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And I'd like to call your attention to the fact that it's the Lamb, the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and it's not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, but the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Some take the position that he's talking about having the names written in the Lamb's book of life from the beginning. I think God could have done it if he'd wanted to, but the Bible doesn't uphold it. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Now, let's go back, and I'll try to be brief. The main thing that I want to call your attention to here is there was given him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemous, and power was given to him to continue 40 and 2 months, and that's the wilderness period. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, to overcome them. Power is given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. What are we supposed to hear? We're supposed to hear tonight that the devil, when he had failed in pagan Rome, that he organized, set up, and placed in operation a counterfeit church. And that's what it is. That's what it's been all the time. That's what it is tonight. Now I want to call your attention to 7 nations. I call your attention to four a while ago that Daniel saw, and Rome was in power at the time the Babylonians were in power, but they were to decline and to decline and decline until Rome. And Rome was depicted by the legs and feet, which was of iron mixed with clay, miry clay. So it depreciated, or the world depreciated, from gold to iron mixed with miry clay. And Rome, actually, as Gibbon says, began to decline and fell under the hammer of the truth of the gospel of the Son of God. And Daniel saw that. Now, there are 7 nations that we're going to study Thursday night. One of them was Egypt, that had the children of Israel in bondage 400 years, tried everything in the book, everything possible to keep them in slavery in Egypt, but God delivered them by a mighty hand. Assyria, the capital of which was Nineveh, was the 2nd nation And then we have Babylon, the third, and the Greeks, the fourth, the Medes and Persians, the fifth, and the Roman power, the sixth, and the Holy Roman Catholic Church, the seventh, or the Holy Roman Catholic Empire, Roman Empire. And finally, there was one who was not a nation, but he was of the seven, and that's the Pope. We'll get into that next Thursday night. So this instrument that the devil is using back here in Revelation, that he started out with, and it's getting weaker all the time, and we're going to finally see the fall, the complete overthrow of the Roman Catholic Church before the end. And we're finally going to see the devil and the false prophet and all of his agents cast into the lake of fire with the rest of the wicked of the world, and total and complete victory come to the church that Jesus planted 2,000 years ago. And that ought to be giving to us courage tonight, and it ought to give us more zeal to move out, knowing that we're not fighting alone, that God has agencies in heaven, my brother, and we are just laborers together with Him. May God help us to move out and tell the world the truth. Thank you very much. Greatly appreciate the presence of everyone. And I feel the solemnity of this hour. I've had this thought not only today, but in the past nights of this study to which you have been so attentive, about all these recorders that have been picking up what we've had to say. And if I'm not right in what I have taught in this study, the position that I've taken, I hate to have to face it at the judgment. And I want you to know that I am sincere, that I'm honest, and I'm not trying to put over something just because I want it to be that way. I had one preacher tell me one time, who held to a certain position and finally gave it up, he said, "I don't know why that I believed and preached that unless I just wanted it to be that way." Well, that's a pretty bad excuse. I want things to be like God has fixed. And I've tried by your help and your prayers and the help of God to bring this study along in a way that I hope that you are tonight able to understand and to see what is coming in the future studies. And most of that that we've talked about and studied about this far is the fight and the persecutions, and the hardships that the church has had in the years gone by, and the agencies by which it has happened. Of course, the devil has been the one that's used those agencies. And maybe we've come to the conclusion, since we took the position and still hold to that position tonight, that the seals, the opening of the seals was a revelation of the effects of the gospel as preached from the time that it started, in the beginning of this dispensation, to the end of the world. And that the trumpets, the sounding of the trumpets, was in response to prayers that had been around the throne of God, maybe for years and years. There are still prayers there that's unanswered. And they're waiting God's own good time. And we ought to be willing for God's will to be done and for things to be done in His time when He would get the most honor and glory. You know, we don't take that into consideration too much. When we want God to do something, we want Him to do it now. But now He might not get the honor and glory that He could get later. And we need to be patient. And we're going to think to see something about that a little later in this book. Brother Massey called my attention, and I'm glad he did. And I appreciate it. I thank him for it. I had so many thoughts on my mind that I failed to bring out some of the very important part of the lesson Tuesday night, and that's the second verse of the 13th chapter. You know, in the first verse it said, and now the revised version doesn't put that personal pronoun I in there. John, it's not John standing on the sand of the sea. The revised version says, and he stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. And the revised version says, and he stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. And the beast in Revelation, as well as in Daniel, and in other books of the Old Testament, symbolic usages we'll find there as well as in the New Testament. The beast has reference either to a king or a kingdom or government. And this beast he saw rise up out of the sea indicates that it was from among people. Or sea represents people. Having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads name of blasphemy, or the names of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. Now that's what I left out last week, or last Tuesday night. His feet was the feet of a bear. His mouth is the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat or his throne, and great authority. Now this beast that's represented, or this kingdom that's represented by a leopard, spotted beast, has reference to the political and ecclesiastical connection in one government, which is referred to as the Holy Roman Empire. Following the pagan Roman Empire. Now, another thing I'd like to call attention to, the devil had failed in his efforts to destroy the church through pagan Rome. For we see pagan Rome coming to its end. And I'd like for you to go back and we'll tie that in regarding the church that fled into the wilderness, given two wings of a great eagle. And I told you last Tuesday night that it still had a reference to the cherubim that we studied right on the beginning, which are God's agents in carrying out his purposes on earth. And the church was carried into the wilderness, and the devil was wroth or maddened because he had failed, and cast waters of flood after the woman or the church. But the earth helped the woman. We told you last Tuesday night that the earth having the woman simply meant that governments sympathetic to liberty under laws that were legislated and executed by them, that the church was protected. And of course that is through God's providence. And the dragon was wroth, the woman went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, as I said a while ago about all that we've studied, except what we've received in panorama of an opening of things in heaven, get a little glimpse once in a while so far of heaven's agencies, the most that we've studied has been dark, hasn't it? Been dark. For the church, even the seven churches of Asia, the weaknesses that were seen in them. But we are traveling in this book toward the time when God is going to answer the prayers that have been prayed. And he's going to reward his gospel that's been preached. And we're going to see the victory over the devil and all of his combined forces before we reach the end of this book. So many people, when they think about the book of Revelation, they start at the 20th chapter. And they try to make it the key to the entire book. Well, I'm not doing that. And no book in the Bible has ever been written in that manner. The context of every subject in every book of the Bible comes first. And then the consequences follows up. And we're going to get to the 20th chapter, but we're going to get what's going to happen before the 20th chapter. Now, this leopard beast is the Holy Roman Empire which is the union of church and state, and Constantine was the one that united the church and the state. Part of the time the church was on top, had authority. Part of the time the church was on top and exercising her authority. But every time that you find a union of church and state, you find problems existing between two. And the problems are, which one's going to be the boss? And of course, they went along that way for a time, and there was much rejoicing when they united and became a Holy Roman Empire and took the place of the pagan Roman Empire. But notice here it said that the dragon, which is the devil, gave him, this beast, his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. His deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And I was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given to him to continue 42 months, or 1260 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and as his church, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life. Now that was a sad scene, wasn't it? This beast, this political, ecclesiastical government, a union of church and state, and every person living at the time. And then you know I'm thinking of it being in the past, because it is. It's long past. But there was a time when everybody wandered after that beast who was not saved. And this Lamb's Book of Life, he's not talking about the Lamb's Book of Life being from the foundation of the world, or their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world, but of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So, we just can't interpret this without tying in some other scriptures we'll get to in a little bit. In the 9th verse, it said, if any man have an ear, let him hear. That's one thing for a person to have an ear. It's another thing for him to not use that ear. And he's making an appeal here. If you have an ear, a spiritual ear of understanding, heed what you're hearing. And that's what he means. Now, here's the promise. 10th verse, he said, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about those saints of God who patiently, through faith, endured the persecutions that had come upon them. Through faith and patience. Not just patience, but faith and patience. Now let's look at another beast. I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb. And he spake as a dragon. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him. In other words, he exercised the power of the pagan empire. And caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Now, the pagan head of Rome was wounded to death. But that deadly wound was healed by the Catholic head, the head of the papacy. That's where it was brought back to life, but it exercised all of the power of the first beast of the pagan empire. And he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. I'd like to say this tonight. The Catholic institution, wherever you find it, and it's based in Italy, you'll find more images and more claims of miracles, and it's not uncommon to pick up your paper and read of a new miracle that's happened in Catholic ranks, and they make people believe it. Well, they even have images that weep, they claim. They have images that blood flows from them drop after drop. And it's deception. And their claims that they have made has deceived millions of people, for there are millions and millions of people that are connected with and affiliated with and members of the Catholic Church. And they've got more images than the heathen had. And it's another type of idolatry that they use in their worship. Now, this just simply says that they were given power to do this by the one who gave them the seat and his authority, and that was the devil. So whatever they have ever claimed in the way of miracles, it's like the fortune tellers of today. Nobody disputes the fact that there are fortune tellers. There are. But every last one of them do whatever they do and see whatever they see in the future by the power of the devil, who gives them the same authority that he gave the Catholics. And they're in the same category as far as I'm concerned. Now, he had power to give life or breath unto the image of the beast. And that just simply means that he, this beast, this government, this empire that had fallen to the sword and was dead as an empire, was rejuvenated and brought back to life by another head. And that was the Catholic head. Now this beast down here that had two horns like a lamb and spake as a dragon, that's the Pope. That's the Pope. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him and causeth the earth and them to dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Now then, let's look a little further. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here's wisdom.